Welcome to All Things Madison, the podcast exclusively for kids. Sure to tickle your funny bone while learning something new at the same time. Here's your host, Madison Lauren. Please enjoy the show.
Hey, hey, hey. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. What was that?
That was my thing at starting a new year.
Wasn't a fat Albert impression?
No. Well, maybe. I don't know. Anyway, hey, guys. Durante here with The Expert Process.
And Madison here with All Things Madison.
And this year, we're going to try a little something different, at least at the start of the year. Madison had an idea at the beginning of the winter break. And your idea was basically what, Madison?
We should do a collab together.
Yeah, and we get a lot of folks saying that we tend to work together pretty well. So, Madison, your idea was basically what?
We should have a series of interviews with ladies on both the East Coast and West Coast who are industry titans in entertainment, animation, gaming, music, and more.
And so I pulled together a few folks that I thought might fit the bill, and we have some ladies that are going to wow and impress you over the next few weeks. With this series, we are calling it The Creative Spark. What gets your creative juices going? So I think this is going to be a wild and fun ride. Right, Madison?
Definitely. I think kids are going to learn a lot from this, and I'm really excited too.
Just to let you guys know, you're going to be hearing both Madison and myself for the next few podcasts as we share those on both of our personal platforms. First up in our Creative Spark series, who do we have, Madison?
Peyton McDavitt.
Peyton McDavitt. And Peyton, she's probably best known for shows like Criminal Minds, Rizzoli and Isles.
House, Grey's Anatomy.
Yep, and then she has writing credits to include A Christmas Bow, and A Christmas to Cherish. Peyton most recently worked on a project called 101 Reasons Why, along with some other writers and the creators of the show, as well as we have coming up next, a good friend of mine, Marlene Sharp, who is one of the promoters of the series and is working very hard and diligently to get this out to the public. So, without further ado,
this is our interview with Peyton. Enjoy!
Everyone, welcome Peyton McDavitt to the show. Peyton is an industry pro. She's been at it for a long time. She's actually 93, but she looks like she's 32. So,
yeah.
I'm teasing you. You're 32 and you look 13. So, hey, there you go. I don't know how old you are. I'm just joking. I'm messing around.
I appreciate that.
Well, Peyton, welcome to the show. Today we're doing something a little different. The audience doesn't know, but we were talking briefly beforehand. But Madison has her show, which I'm sure they know. Hers is All Things Madison, and mine is The Expert Process. And we're going to make an attempt to share these on both platforms. So this is something new for us. We've never done this before. But I feel at the start of the new year, this is what, January, what's today, the 6th, 7th?
Yep.
2024. Why not try something new, right? Awesome. Well, thank you. Thank you for coming on the show. And I want to let the audience know just a little bit about you, which basically that you have writing credits, you have acting credits, you have producer credits, but essentially you're known for shows like House and like was Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah.
And I saw oh my gosh, Rizzoli and Isles, which is one of my favorite shows. Criminal Minds, I know, one of my favorite shows, and then you got movies that you've written. So yeah, welcome to the show, man. We're excited to have you.
Oh, thank you. I'm so excited to be here. Such a pleasure.
Thank you, Madison. So what's the first thing that pops into your mind when you talk to someone like this, who is kind of where you want to go? She's a aspiring actress, right? She's an aspiring writer. She's a podcaster. So okay. When you look at Peyton and you have the opportunity to talk with her one-on-one, what's going through your mind? What's something that you would want to say to her? What's something you would like to ask?
What is it like to be an actress? It's hard. It's a lot of hard work, but it's also really, really rewarding. I grew up playing sports, so I really think of it a lot like an athlete. It's like you train, and you make sure your skills are as sharp as humanly possible. And then it's like a bunch of tryouts. And you hear no a lot, but if you're in the best shape you could possibly be in, your odds are better. And then when you do book, it's wonderful, and you get to work with really creative, really, really neat people from all walks of life. And it's making TV and making films is such a collaborative art. It's really exciting because everyone's there doing their part. And, you know, Durante, you mentioned that I have a lot of different types of credits to my name, and everything from when I first moved to LA, I did everything. I would ask my friends, what are you shooting? How can I help? I will PA, which is a production assistant. I will hold the boom for the, you know, handle the sound. I was terrible at that. But it made me appreciate people who do that professionally. So it's really, it's busy, it's difficult, and it's really, really, really rewarding.
So when you say it's like sports, and then you mentioned the tryouts are, that would be like auditions, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. So with, okay, and now you're speaking briefly about your sports background. You tell us what the sport was again, please.
Field hockey. Yeah. Field. So I grew up in a very field hockey oriented family. Both my older sisters play, my mom played. We all played in college. It was a lot of fun.
So correct me if I'm wrong, but that isn't that kind of like a regional sport?
What's interesting about field hockey is actually it's a very popular sport worldwide.
Also,
okay. It's, you know, it's mostly a men's sport abroad. But in India, it's huge. Second only to cricket. In Germany, it's huge. In Australia, all these other countries. In the States, it's a little bit more female oriented, and it's definitely Northeast or East Coast.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like Maine, Massachusetts.
Yeah.
You're from Massachusetts, right?
I'm from just outside of Boston originally.
Okay. So now I read a little about your background. So you went to Harvard, is that right?
I did. Yeah, that's right.
So what did you study?
The history of art and architecture, and I got my citation in Spanish.
Oh, okay. Citations, that mean that you're fluent?
Not from the citation, but from living abroad after, yes.
Okay, gotcha. And so you lived abroad. Where did you live?
I moved to Santiago, Chile, right after college, and I spent some time down there, and I played field hockey down there. They have an amazing club system. So it was nice to be able to connect to people through my sport. That was pretty amazing.
That's really cool. She has a really interesting background, don't you think, Madison?
Maybe.
So one of the things I like how this conversation is going, right? Because one of the things we've talked about is living abroad. And we've talked about different places like Costa Rica and just different places. But like the DR, Puerto Rico, we talked about like Panama, you know, places like that, places that are friendly to the U.S., right? How was that in Chile, though? How was your experience?
Really warm. Really warm. Obviously, it took a little while to catch my footing and, you know, arriving and realizing I'd studied Spanish for like 8 years and I couldn't understand what anybody was saying was very jarring. I was like, what? But after sort of, you know, my mind got up to speed and I joined the field hockey club, I suddenly felt like I had a team of people in my corner that were just going to, you know, they're like, we're picking you up for the team party. And I was just included in everything. That was pretty amazing. It's beautiful there. It's a really modern city. Like their subway systems in so much cleaner than I remember the T being in Boston. So I was like, wow, this is really, it's impressive. And you can ski the Andes and go to the beach in the same day, which, California in that capacity. But I've also been to Panama and Costa Rica and Puerto Rico, and all of those are great. I highly recommend. I think you should go to all of them.
We went to Puerto Rico. You was the year before last?
I think it was 2022.
2022, yeah. So, and we had a blast. Went up to the mountains and all that stuff. It was a great time. But yeah, it's interesting because, you know, the experiences abroad, I think, shape your worldview, but they give you a different perspective when you come home, right? So that you can appreciate things so much more. You think you have maybe a broader cultural experience and lens so that you look at things differently.
Mm-hmm. It's such an appreciation, you know, for all different cultures. It's an amazing experience. I love that I had the opportunity to travel.
So here's a good question for you. How has that affected your work as both a writer and as an actor? Because I'm not an actor, but I write, direct, and produce. Mm-hmm. And so I try to be mindful of the folks that I work with, people that I bring in, and also it goes all the way down to such little things, which is really not little, but it's craft services, right? So an appreciating people's differences in what they eat, because mm-hmm. from a cultural standpoint, not everyone eats what we eat or vice versa. And if you've got a complete, you know, a full set of mostly American people, But then you have some other folks sprinkled in that have different cultural backgrounds, and you don't appreciate that, then it poses a bit of a hindrance to your production. Does that make sense?
For sure. Then I think people can feel othered.
Yes, yes. So how has that affected you? Just being abroad, having that exposure, having those, I think, unique sensibilities to what you bring.
That's such a great question. And so much of, and this actually goes back to Madison's first question of so much of being an actor, and I don't actually act anymore, but so much of being an actor and then being a writer is really putting yourself in other people's shoes. Mm. Trying to tell a story as truthfully as possible, and not judging your characters, and learning as much about them. So I think having the chance to have lived abroad and understanding not just like the isolation of that, but how deeply lonesome that can be when you can't connect. I've lived in the Middle East as well. And just having that opportunity to really immerse in a culture with such an open mind and such an understanding that like the way I've always done things isn't necessarily the way. What can I learn? How can I grow here? All of that filters into my work.
Mm.
Mostly, I think through empathy is the greatest asset of travel, or the greatest benefit of traveling is for sure learning empathy.
I think what you're saying is spot on, because one of the things that Madison and I talk about a lot, actually. In fact, we just had this conversation about empathy. Remember that?
Yep.
We were literally talking about this. I think yesterday, the day before yesterday, school started back this week, right? And the thing with empathy to me was, in fact, I'm about to put you on the spot. So the thing for me, I'm like, you know, we're driving up the road and I'm like, you know, you're hearing different stories in the news and stuff like that. I'm like, Madison, well, there's one big thing that you have to learn, which is to be empathetic, you know, or empathy. I put her on the spot. So what does empathy mean? She's like, no, it's when we're walking the other day. We do these mile walks and stuff. And so I put her on the spot and she's like, I'm like, it took too long. So then I said, so Madison, okay, this is a great one for you. This is for you now. So Peyton is talking about empathy and how it applies to what she's doing as both a writer, as both an actor, how she had how that shaped her thoughts as she's going into this stuff, right? Now, my question to you, Madison, since we're doing this kind of joint interview type of thing, is how do you find Peyton's answers in respect to empathy? How does that apply to what you think of and what you're trying to do? Now she's in sixth grade, now she's in chorus, now she's doing this and she's doing these, you know, sorts of things. So what do you think about that, Madison? How does that idea of empathy and trying to, you know, just think about others and be considerate of others, how does that apply to what you're doing?
To be honest, it really has to take me not to get mad at people, because I never know what they're going to go through or something.
Yeah.
I'm having a hard day myself. You sure?
Yeah, that's good. And yeah. The other thing is, one of the things that we had discussed prior to your interview is collaboration. So why don't you kind of elaborate on what we're talking about with collaboration?
So my dad collabs with a lot of people. He has a team he works with. And what is your form of collaboration?
Another great question. I'm really, really, like I said, open-minded. I think a lot of this comes from, again, growing up as an athlete, because all of that, you know, training that I didn't realize was training me for life was learning how to play many, many different roles within a team structure, but keeping the team's goals ahead of my own personal goals. So knowing that if I'm the captain of a particular group of people, if I'm leading a writing project, if I'm leading, if I'm producing something, versus if I'm coming in and I'm a very small day player on a big TV show, knowing the importance of my role, knowing how it fits into the larger picture of our whole team goal has been a really wonderful asset for me, is coming into a team environment without an ego and being like, okay, so what is the big team goal and how can I help the team achieve that? That's sort of my style, is I do a lot of listening, and then I kind of find out where I can be the greatest asset to the team.
That's excellent. I think that should be a masterclass in and of itself.
Play sports.
Well, no, well, in the sports, definitely sports, but I mean, geez, the whole team player thing. I mean, and leave your ego at the door. I mean, you know, everybody comes in and they think they're, you know, don't get me wrong. I'll work hard to hire the best of the folks that I can afford or the best of the folks that apply for that specific position, right?
Right, right.
That all said, I mean, I get to work with a lot of high caliber people, but you can't walk through the door, even though you may be the best in what you do locally, or you may be the best in what you do, or you might think that you're the best. It doesn't really matter. You can't walk through the door with the ego and then expect folks that are going to bow down to you because of this and that, right? That's not really how it works. Even, I mean, I even say that as a director, when I go in, I'm like, I check my own ego because I'm like, you know what? We're all here to accomplish the same goal, right?
Yeah.
And if I'm running around here like, you know, my stuff don't stink and just, right, and I'm the bomb and this and that, it's usually off-putting. So
yeah,
that's just my experience. It's like, you know, the folks that I've had the best experiences with on set, off set, have been people like yourself who understand the bigger picture. It's that it is, as Madison was saying, it's a collaborative process, but it's a process, one in which we're we all have to understand our roles and how to be a team player, how to be a fit, right? I'm curious though. I'm sorry.
Confidence is very different than ego.
Confidence is very different than ego. That's a really valid point. I'm curious though, because you had such a unique and strong educational background. So coming from Harvard to Hollywood, what was that journey like? Because that's different. That's not your typical.
The first thing I did was apologize to my parents. that was really expensive. I'm so sorry. You know, it was actually hard to make the decision. Simply because I felt pressured or some sort of allegiance to this elite education. Like I was supposed to become a doctor or go to Wall Street where like there's a mass exodus from college. Everyone's going to work in finance. And for a long time, I actually couldn't separate wanting to be an artist from Hollywood. And I was afraid of being judged a little bit from like the sort of Hollywood thing.
Okay.
Gosh, this thing that I had when I was 13 in Madison, I was just like you. I did all the plays and I was in all the courses and I loved it. And it kept coming back up for me. So, you know, I started this job search and it was just so uninspired because it wasn't what I was supposed to be doing. So I sat down with my parents and I told them, this is my 5-year plan. Doesn't mean I'm coming home after 5 years. I just want you to know that I'm thinking about this like a career. I'm treating this like a career.
Right.
I'm not just going out there on a wing and a prayer and I'm going to, you know, this is where I'm going to study. This is who I'm going to have to take my first headshots. I'm going to reach out to these people and ask if they'll get coffee with me. And so this is what I'm going to do for money. You know, how I'm going to support myself. All of these things I was taking into consideration went into sort of that decision. And I think once I got over this feeling like I wasn't kind of using my education in a very traditional sense, I realized I was going to use my educational experiences in a really exciting way, in a different way. Mm-hmm. And so much of my experience at Harvard was outside the classroom. I did a million extracurriculars. I was in a chorus. I was in the Kumba Singers of Harvard College. I volunteered at the Harvard Homeless Shelter. I played field hockey there. I did art classes. I took graduate courses. So much of what I did outside the classroom or even inside the classroom has actually come into my life in a really great way into my career.
Madison had the chance to meet a well-known actor recently. We were out in LA back over the summer. We actually came out for we came out for two things. I came out because I was on a panel for Comic-Con, right?
Oh.
Yeah, I was at San Diego Comic-Con, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that was my first time at Comic-Con, needless to say. And Madison came out because she was nominated for it's called the Youth Oscar with this organization called
Young Artists
Academy. Young Artists Academy, yes. So it just so happens those two events were coinciding, right? And then we left there and came up the coast and went and visited a friend in Bel Air and stayed with him for a few, he and his wife for a few days. But while we were there, one of his good friends who also was signed on for a project that I had, you know, the actor Keith David?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know him personally. I know of him.
Yeah. Know him. Yeah. Yeah. So Keith came by my buddy's house, spent some time with us. And one of the things he was sharing with Madison was, I said, well, Keith, I said, can you impart some wisdom with Madison? You know, with your illustrious career, you know, he's done all this, these amazing things and won awards and Emmys and stuff. I'm like, well, so can you impart some wisdom to her at 11 years old? What would you say to her if, you know, if you wanted something that's going to stick, right? One of his biggest things that the takeaway was focusing on the craft, right? And I think that's what I'm hearing from you is you took the time to learn how to, I guess, immerse yourself in the craft, to study the craft, right? So that's one thing I want to kind of hit on is what is that, what's that process like for you, like studying the craft, honing in on the craft? Because you would not be on roles with some of these major shows had you not done that. So what is that for you?
I mean, I think you just nailed it right there. It's like you would never walk into any other professional setting having not done your due diligence. You know, you don't say you want to be a doctor and then don't go to med school, you know?
Right.
So acting and writing are, it's just like that. You have to practice. And it's actually really freeing. Like I studied, did like what's basically a 2-year conservatory. I knew I needed to kind of go back to fill in a little bit more foundation.
Mm.
So I committed to that. I committed to the school I went to was actually like, you shouldn't audition while you're here, but I didn't really listen to that. I did, however, really dig into studying and learning as much as possible and watching as much as possible, watching as much live theater as possible, and watching my peers and seeing what was working and what was not from almost an anthropological standpoint. Like there was never any judgment in like if someone was up there trying something new and it wasn't working. My takeaway from that was like, oh, this is really useful for me. And like look at that person trying something new and trying something like outside their comfort zone. So much of, I totally agree with this, is like, you don't want your skills to be like you don't want your acting to be the problem in your acting career. You don't want your writing to be the problem in your writing career. That needs to be rock solid. And then there's the whole other business part. But once you're like, you know, really, really, and also it gives you a lot of freedom because once your craft is in really, really good shape, you walk into the auditions and you do your best and you can leave it there. There's no like, oh my gosh, I wasn't ready for that. Oh my gosh, I haven't studied hard enough.
Yeah.
And it goes throughout though. You know, the last project I ever did, I really kind of regret because I wasn't ready for it.
Mm.
It already pivoted to writing and sometimes it was a Christmas movie. My acting on it is really, it's really hit or miss. It's really, some scenes are fine. Some scenes are kind of painful and I had a hard time watching it and I was really just myself.
Are you your own worst critic?
Oh, 100%.
Okay.
100%. But it was objectively not great. And, you know, it was such a testament to maintaining your craft.
Yeah.
I had gotten out of shape.
Mm.
And it showed.
Man, I'm telling you something. That's another conversation we've been having. This interview is kicking off an effort. The both of us to get back into podcasting much more regularly. She was at one point putting out a podcast every 3 weeks. I was at one point putting out one every 2 weeks or so. Last year we fell off, man, and now trying to get back into it, as you said, is it's work. It is. It's work.
Yeah, you've got a little gap to close. There's some growing pains.
Yeah. So, Madison, so ask her your question about the. About the advice for the creators.
What advice would you give me as an aspiring actress?
I can tell you a lot of what not to do. I've made a lot of mistakes in my career, but a mistake is only a mistake if you don't learn from it. So first of all, it sounds like you're actually doing a lot of the things you need to be doing, which is working on becoming a great actor. If you are amazing at what you do, you cannot be stopped. because maybe you're not right for a certain part, but if you continue to show up and be amazing, you can't fail. So first and foremost, same thing Keith said was like really making sure your craft is just rock solid. And it sounds like you also really understand the team aspect of it. That's very, really important is taking care of the people around you, because you do have a collective rising with a certain group of friends. And I've seen it before where a certain group of friends start to make it and they all kind of make it at the same time.
Oh.
So that's definitely very, very good. It's really good to lean into your crew, but make sure your crew is the right people.
Yeah.
People who take care of the craft and take care of each other the way that you do, who honor the work the way that you do. That's really important. Also, you're going to spend a lot of time with these people, so you should really like them.
So true. Oh my God.
The collecting on set. You know this.
Yeah. We're a member of an organization called Kids Listen, which is a really elite group of kids podcasters across the globe, right? I think it's maybe 300 or so kids podcasters. Now, they're not all kids, but they're podcasters that do kids in the kids space. And one of the things that I've made an effort to do is to connect with people within the organization so that she has people that she other kids content creators that she can collaborate with, but also they can share experiences and they can form almost like a brotherhood, right? Or sisterhood, basically a tribe, if you will, right? So she's got one of her friends is over in India and they've communicated a couple times. They've been on each other.
I think that's a podcast I listen to. Did you
interview her? I'm sorry.
Yeah. Did you, Madison, did you interview her?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, I listened to, that's the podcast I listen to.
Yeah.
That was a great one.
Layla and Lindsay. There you go. Layla and Lindsay. Lindsay's her mom.
Mm-hmm.
And they're a mother-daughter team. Now, they're not like us because we're generally not on screen together. They're on screen together all the time, right?
Okay.
They produce, oh my God, they're like 120 or 30 episodes or something crazy. They're consistent, like really consistent. And kudos and shout out to Layla and Lindy. It is the Newsy Jacuzzi podcast. Newsy Palooza. It used to be Jacuzzi. Now Newsy Palooza. But I always say that to say that, and both Layla and Madison are up for an award for the same, which is a completely different organization, for the same category, right? Which is a podcast host.
Mm-hmm.
But even though there's competition there, there's no animosity, right? There's no angst or, any of that friction because they're friends. So she wants to see her friend succeed just like her friend wants to see her succeed. So if whoever gets the award, they'll be happy with each other, happy for each other. But that's the kind of thing I've tried to work to nourish and develop with her is to have those, as you said, is to have those kinds of friends that you need to build that support system with, where they're both 11 years old. When they get to be 21 years old, you can imagine how, if they both stay at it, where their careers would be and how, they can, as you said, was what they say, all ships rise, how they'll be able to help each other up,
100%. And that's great. Because if you're not going to win an award, wouldn't you want your friend to win it?
Right.
That makes so much sense. Yeah.
Right.
That's okay. You're doing Madison, you're doing so many wonderful things. And as long as you're still enjoying it and still loving it, and then you're totally on the right track.
Exactly. Well, I'll say it like this. Peyton, we really appreciate your time. In closing, what would you want to share with our audience?
Oh my goodness. Still hope. I've spoken a lot.
What would you say to your 11-year-old self? With everything you know as a creative, as a writer, as a producer, as an actress, what information in 30 seconds would you want to share with your 11-year-old self?
I would share two things. One thing is advice my dad gave me, which was anything is possible if you are realistic. So, you can do anything you want to do, but be practical about how you're going to get there and, execute your action steps. The other thing I would say is it's okay to explore something and discover it's not quite the right fit. That's how acting. I loved acting. When I pivoted to writing, it was almost like my dream job was running parallel to what I thought my dream job was.
Yeah.
So I needed acting. I needed to take this route to get to where I am now.
Yeah.
And I'm so grateful for it because I also think it helps me with my writing. Yeah, that's what I would say to my 11-year-old self is, you know, make good action steps and continue to explore.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Peyton. You've been terrific. Everyone, please make sure you go and find Peyton. Where can we find you?
I'm on Instagram and Facebook. Peyton McDavitt, PeytonMcDavitt is my handle on both. And that's where I exist. I don't post very often, but I'll come say hi.
Thank you so much. Happy New Year, Peyton.
Likewise, Happy New Year.
Bye.